It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right. Welcome to Money for Lunch. It must be an age thing, right? It just must be an age thing because I have two kids left at home, five kids total, but two are left at home. And they're twins, so they're both 17. And as kids are, you know, time is ticking by slowly. You know, it's just not happening fast enough for them, right? They couldn't get their driver's license fast enough. Now we're making them wait to get a car, and life is dragging on, and it's just so slow. However, I'm on the other end of that spectrum, right, where life is advancing at lightning speed. Here we are, 6 months out of 2018 have blown by. And it's just, again, it's just one of those things, right? It's an age thing. Depending on where you're at in life, it's either going really fast or really slow. Anyway, today's quote of the day: it shouldn't take a life-changing event to spark change in your life. By Sean Hitt. It shouldn't take a life-changing event to spark change in your life. But of course, we know that most of the time it does. We have to be waking up out of our stupor, our trance. All right, let's get this party started. On the show with me right now is the one, the only, Norm Blumenthal. Norm Blumenthal is an attorney for workers and consumers, selected as one of the top attorneys in Southern California. And in 2017, Norm was inducted and recognized as one of America's most trusted lawyers in employment law. Norm is a regular contributor here on Money for Lunch. Always good to have him here. Straight shooter, Norm Blumenthal. Welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Thanks, Bert. Nice to be back, and nice to talk to you again. And we've got plenty to talk about today because the life of employees in America has changed in an epic way as a result of the epic case in the United States Supreme Court that was just handed down. And so I want to go over.
Let's talk about this.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you about this. Get your take on the good and the bad and the ugly of this epic case. And for ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about, Norm and I, was it beginning of this year or maybe late last year? We talked about this case there at your office, and it's Epic Systems Corp versus Lewis. And this went all the way up to United States Supreme Court. And I want you to talk about, you know, maybe give them a little bit of background and why it went up to the Supreme Court and what the ruling was and what it means.
Sure. Basically, there's a regulatory body, the National Labor Relations Board, that was put into effect in the 30s because of the terrible situation we were in with getting people back to work. And they wanted to provide a platform where the law was such that employees could join together in lawsuits and in court and in unions to protect themselves and negotiate with their employers. And one way that this was happening was what's called a class action. Class action, for those of you that may not be familiar with it, that's the ability of one employee to join together and represent other employees as a group in court for grievances with regard to their employment. For example, people working off the clock in a company, or not having meal breaks, or not having rest breaks, or their time not being recorded, or time shaved, or misclassification such that they're exempt employees and have to work 50 or 60 hours without any overtime pay. So this allowed one person, and you know, most people are afraid if they brought a lawsuit, they'd lose their job if they're a current employee. So there is some fear of that. And so this allows one person who may be a former employee to bring a lawsuit and sue on behalf of the other employees. Well, employers weren't too thrilled with this, and so they were looking for a way to get around the National Labor Relations Act and the class action laws, and they started writing into their employment contracts. You know, usually when you go to a job, you'll get a policy manual, and, you know, sign here, you're an at-will employee, and, oh, by the way, there's an arbitration provision in here. The arbitration provision had in it, in most cases now you'll see it, and it's implied even when it's silent now under Supreme Court decisions, that you cannot bring any more actions as a class action anywhere.
Wow.
And this trumps what's also the Fair Labor Standard Act, where you can bring under federal law employment grievances. So now they've trumped both the National Labor Relations Act and the Fair Labor Standards Act. So what we have now as a result of the Epic decision is the court in a 5-4 ruling where all the Republicans voted one way and all the Democrats voted another, unsurprising. We have a situation where the law has changed and there is effectively in this country no ability for an employee to bring a class action for employment grievances. So I think the easiest way to explain this to everybody out there is we have to look at both sides of the equation. We have to look at the management side of the equation. We have to look at the labor side of the equation. And the way the equation works is it's like a scale. You put on one side fear, and you put on the other side greed. And obviously, if there is no fear of a class action, and the only fear is that one employee may stand up and say, hey, I was cheated, okay, so we'll pay him off, but the other 1,000 employees or 100 employees or 50 employees, nobody's going to stand up. So you get away with it. So there's really no fear anymore on the employer's side, the management side of the equation, and the only factor they have to worry about is greed. And greed is the bottom line. It makes the company go. The shareholders want better profits. The owners in a smaller company want better profits. And management, to get greater salaries and bonuses on their end, they have to show greater profits. Well, this now opens the floodgates. How do you create greater profits? Well, the easiest way to create greater profits is to cheat to compete by cutting down how and in what way you pay labor, both in terms of the amount and in terms of how many hours they work off the clock or as a so-called exempt employee from overtime, how many meal breaks they can miss, you know, how much time they won't have a rest break. So the issue goes on and on. And what the Supreme Court has done, it's basically just said, hey, an employment contract's like any other contract, which it isn't. And so but they treated it like any other contract, and they failed to take into consideration the policy considerations that are around an employment agreement, such that now employees, you know, there's no unions left. With the lack of any union bargaining positions, all employees are basically out there on their own. You know, you're all now the Lone Rangers. You're in states other than blue states like California, you're going to have no chance to join together. And I won't save for another day how we treat employees in California. We have a much better system here. Because we have a system that wants to take into account the needs of the employees, not just the needs of the employers. So that's where it stands right now, Bert.
All right. So I want to ask a couple of questions, because some of those things that you said just seem outrageous. So if one of the things that you said is that now employees are completely exempt from ever bringing a class action lawsuit. Is that correct? Ever?
It will be pretty soon. They have to have it. The employer, all he has to do is have his attorney write it up in the employment contract. And so what are you going to do? If you got a job and it's in your contract, of course you're going to sign the contract. And
right.
So you're stuck with it. That's it. And so if it ever, and it, you know, it goes across the line in terms of discrimination cases, in terms of harassment cases. You know, you have a bad company and bad management, you have bad policies. They'll run across the board, but you can't attack them. There's just no way to attack these terrible policies, and so people are stuck with the fact that the bargaining position has changed. And you know, it's all a question of who you elect and who you put into office. You know, you get the government you deserve. You know, I live in San Diego, and there's this imaginary border we have with Mexico and Tijuana. Well, you cross this imaginary border that government created. On one side is wealth and prosperity. On the other side is poverty, because there's no regulations in Mexico that people live with. You build your house anywhere. The sewer system doesn't work. The roads don't work. The electricity barely works because there's no regulations. And that's exactly where we're headed. You know, I don't want to make America great again. I don't want to go backwards. I want to make America greater than it's ever been. What do we want to go back to? Discrimination? We want to go back to water pollution? Do we want to go back to air pollution? Do we want to go back to lower wages? I don't want to go back there. I want to make it better than it's ever been for all our children and grandchildren. And I think that's really what the Democrats are saying. Let's make America better than it's ever been. Let's not go backwards to where we were before. What are we going to have, the kind of discrimination and strife we had in you know, as it's just 50 years ago with all the civil rights movements? I mean, this is not where we want to be, but this is what the Republicans want it to be, because in the end,
well,
it's a fight between management and labor.
Right, and. You know, people forget, unless you happen, you know, unless your family is involved, but in some of these industries, you know, workers were in harm's way. I mean, at one point, truck drivers are expected to keep these crazy hours, you know, and some of these truck drivers were, you know, working 20 hours a day with very little sleep, putting themselves and everybody around them in danger. We had unsafe factories. We had children who were essentially enslaved. And so I like what you said about this is what happens when you have no regulations. And so we have to keep management, for lack of better terms, we got to keep some of the, you know, we got to keep people in check. Otherwise, you know, what's the old saying? You give them an inch, they take a ruler, and that's what happens, inch by inch.
Well, it's worse than that. I mean, you speak about truck drivers. It's passed the House, just passed the House, and heading for the Senate. All the truck drivers now, their breaks are not going to count towards their payroll, and they're trying to change the law, and it probably will pass. And now they'll have to work all these crazy hours again without getting paid. And so you have a lot of tired truck drivers on the road. That's happening right now as we speak. That's supposed to be passed in July. So that's really a scary situation, and you get the government you deserve. And if you're a worker, if you're working stiff out there, and you vote for a Republican, you got to be felony stupid. I keep telling you this. You got to be felony stupid because you're voting against everything that you need to support your family. You're voting for lower wages. You're voting against a higher minimum wage. You're voting for more hours worked. You're voting against being paid for those hours worked by time and a half. You're voting against paid meal breaks. You're voting for off-the-clock hours. This is what you do when you vote for a Republican. This is what you do, and you're going to turn the clock back. Yeah, make America great again. What? With segregation? With no regulations? With air pollution? With water pollution? The list goes on. And this is where we're headed. You know, I want to make America greater than it's ever been. That's where we want to go. And that's what we're doing in California. California is the fifth largest economy in the world. And we have in the world. And in California, the fact that they did away with class actions is not going to terribly adversely affect the employees in California. Why? Because we have a law in California called the Private Attorney General Act, or it's called PAGA for short, but the Private Attorney General Act, which allows employees to join together by the state representing them with private attorney generals. In other words, in California, if you see a wrong in your company and you want to prosecute it, you can hire an attorney who will go to the state, who will get you appointed as a private attorney general. And that attorney, just like I do, will represent you in court and represent all the other employees that are aggrieved by the same misconduct. And the issue there is, because the state is making the money, the state actually takes 75% of those funds, but that allows the state to proceed against you through these private attorney generals and is the watchdog. We are the watchdogs. The private attorneys in California are the watchdogs over employment mispractices. And so what ends up happening is, what happens? We have a great economy here. We have minimum wage, $15. We have full employment. We have acts to stop water pollution, to stop air pollution. I mean, this is a state that's very blue. We got legislatures that almost have a two-thirds majority of Democrats in both houses. And we have a Democratic governor. And most cities are Democratic. We have a lot of immigrants. We have a lot of people working together, but we all work together. And management out here has the fear. It's not all greed in California. They understand that they have to comply with wage and hour laws, with anti-discrimination laws, with sexual harassment laws. You know, we have workplaces that are sound and safe and a good place to work for people, and people want to come here. Sure, it may cost a little more, but you make a lot more. And our school systems work. And the community college level is the best community college level in the country, which allows everybody for a very small fee to get the first 2 years of their college education and move on to a four-year college. You know, this is what's happening here. I'm not saying to vote for Democrats because it didn't work anywhere. I'm saying vote for Democrats in the rest of the country because it works in California. I'm telling you it works, and we are the example. We are where the money's being made in this country. You know, we are what's happening. In the other states, the workers work for very little. It's $7.25 is the federal minimum wage. $7.25. How can anybody support a family on $7.25 an hour?
Absolutely. And you look at, you know, gas has just jumped up a dollar, headed towards a $2 bump. I expect gas to be around $4 here shortly. When I say $4, it's probably close to $4 there in California. So if you're making $7.50 or $8 an hour, how do you address any of your expenses? It's ridiculous. And you know, one of the things about California has always been in the forefront of many changes, right? California was a forefront changer or leader when it came to civil rights, to health and fitness, to the list goes on. I mean, constantly, California leads the country in change.
Can we just pass the law in California? Every new home built in California starting in 2019 will have to have solar power on the roof.
Yeah, I can't wait to me, that makes so much sense. You know, here in Arizona, that should also be the law.
Sure, it should be the law.
Only makes sense, man.
It makes sense. It puts a lot of people to work. And the costs then go down dramatically because you're putting it in as part of the house. It's in your mortgage. Okay, so maybe it's $10,000. In your mortgage is an extra, $7,500, which you would notice anyway. And you're going to, in the end, have no electrical bills, which is going to save you a fortune over time and make the house more valuable. This is what's going on, and they put the battery packs now. You can buy that for a little bit more. And now you're going around the clock. You're off the grid in a new home. And so these are the kind of laws that with a progressive Congress, a progressive Senate and Assembly out here in California and governor, these are what we're doing. And we have a balanced budget, and we have a surplus because people are making money. What Trump's doing is he's bankrupting the federal government. We're going to have over a $1 trillion deficit this year, even with a great economy. Interest rates are then going to go up because they've got to borrow more. Air pollution, we've pulled out of the Paris Peace Accords. Everything he's doing is not working. And it's just a matter of time, hopefully, before people wake up. And all he does is talk about things that are meaningless. And so that's what we have with the president we have. And he hasn't done one thing for any worker in this country, nothing. And so it's time for people, you know, to stand up and smell the roses. This guy is all management. The tax bill that he passed just put more money in the pockets of business and business leaders, which is understandable because he's a Republican. I mean, this is an adversary system, so people have to realize that.
The thing about President Trump is not only is he a Republican, but he is a great promoter. He's a great salesperson. You know, basically. One of his campaign promises was, hey, I'm going to drain the swamp. Instead, he has plugged it up and filling it up faster. I mean, it is going to be ridiculous. It's a boondoggle for Republicans.
Yeah, and you know, this whole code word, make America great again, that's just a code word to go backward to where we were before with discrimination and segregation and, you know, going out against your fellow American and the hardworking people. These immigrants that come in here, they are all consumers. 75% of our gross domestic product is consumption by consumers. The more consumers you have, the better the economy is. And so don't kid yourself. And you know, these are people that are hardworking from around the world. It's not just people walking across the border so that they could do manual labor. We have tremendous people from engineering coming from India and Asian countries and Europe coming into this country and Canada that are part of this great economy that we have here. Our arms should be open. That's what's made this country great, and it'll make it great in the future, greater than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And
that's
what
absolutely
we need to work on.
You know, absolutely correct. I think that let me finish this first thought. I think that, unfortunately, Trump has really stirred the pot in the wrong way to try to dump all of America's ills, if you will, on, quote, undocumented Mexican people. You know, because, and I've said this before, you and I have minimal to fear from a bunch of undocumented workers. And ladies and gentlemen, again, most of you guys know this. I'm an immigrant. I came here when I was very young. And what's interesting to me is what you pointed out. Look, most of the people coming over here illegally are coming here because they want to bust their butts, send money home, and make a better place for themselves. Out of that, do we have a few bad apples? Absolutely. When you have tens of thousands of people coming in, are you going to have some people who overdo it? They get drunk. They cause an accident. Some people get addicted to drugs and they cause crime. Again, nothing new. We already have that here. But my big thing is, instead of spending $50 billion to build a wall that is, you know, that might curtail it a little bit, you know, to me, the big obvious problems are the legal immigrants that we allow in this country that are blowing crap up. You look at the UK, you look at, you know, at what's happening in England. That isn't happening. All those bombs going off is not happening from illegal or undocumented workers or immigrants. It's happening from people who came to this country, came to those countries legally, using legal channels. 9/11 did not happen because those guys were admitted into this country illegally. And to me, it's just a distraction. It's like you're taking your eyes off what's really important.
It is. And what's important is you could have, we've talked about this before, you know, for no money. It's already in place, but it's voluntary instead of mandatory. There's a system called the E-Verify system, just like any credit card company. You come into a place you want to work. You put your name into the computer system. It goes into the database in Washington, and either you are registered as a person that has the right to work in this country, or you don't. And if you don't, then you're going to leave soon. And every employer, that puts the onus on the employer, not the employee, to come up with these phony U-9s where, you know, they make up stuff and they're all different people and different, and it's over and over again with the same Social Security number. It's there. But why don't we have it? Because the employers don't want it. They want cheap labor. And what a great thing. You can pay somebody under $7.25 an hour to work because they're illegal, and while other people can't get a job at all, maybe, but this is what's happening in this country. Why? Because management wants to have the cheapest labor force they possibly can. That's part of this adversary system. And when you vote for a Republican, you're voting for a failed system. You're voting for a system that you can cross the border into Tijuana and see, because when you don't have regulations and you don't have law and you don't have law enforcement and you don't have the courts prosecuting these laws that we need to have in place, this is what you're going to end up with. And that's what we should be afraid of. But management, on the other hand, they want cheap labor. They want no regulations. They want the ability to produce products, and so it hurts a few people. They don't care. You know, this is the kind of thing you're faced with now. You're faced with, they have no fear. It's all greed. You know, greed to a certain extent is a good thing. People who want to make money and get ahead for themselves, that's part of the American system. But it has to be in a system where there is some fear of regulation, and that if you don't play by the rules, that you're going to end up, you're going to have a problem, and that the rules won't change to rig the system in favor of management and against labor. We need to have an even playing field. And that's why this EPIC decision was such a disaster for labor. Because now labor employees can't join together with an attorney to bring a class action in most states in this country. You know, well, all states you can't bring class actions, but at least in California you can still bring a private attorney general action. That's the kind of thing that people in other states should be promoting. It allows the state to regulate the acts of the employer, not only with not costing the taxpayer a penny, but the taxpayer ends up, because the state gets money from it, ends up having money from making the system better for the people of the states. It is a win-win-win situation for the worker, for the state, and ultimately for the employer, because you have an even playing field and companies can't cheat to compete. So it and you don't have a bunch of bureaucrats. There's no bureaucrats in it except to allow the private attorney general to go out and prosecute the case. And it's a system that could work across the board, reduces the cost of government while at the same time having regulations enforced by the private sector. So this is really something that's wonderful in California, and probably, you know, people see it, government sees it, when we have Democrats, they'll implement it in the rest of the country because it's such a wonderful thing to reduce the cost of government and at the same time police the labor force.
Yep, I love it. I love it. Norm, we're out of time. As always, my friend, it's good to have you here, and I'm just shocked by Epic Case. It's just, we're going to see this thing really hurt a lot of people. But anyway, if you guys have questions about your case, if you have questions about maybe the way you're being treated, you can reach out to Norm and his team at BAM, B-A-M, BAMLawCA.com. Norm Blumenthal, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks, Bert. Always a pleasure.
Good stuff there from Norm Blumenthal. And you know what? Look, as an employee, as an entrepreneur, I don't want to be sued in a class action. I like it. I like this law. As an employee, not so much. Now, look, here's the deal. We all wear different hats. Sometimes you're the boss and you don't want to be sued and you certainly don't want to be a class action. And then sometimes maybe you might be on the other side of that and you don't want to be ripped off. So it's a tough case. Norm will continue to follow it for us. As always, my friends, please share the show with as many people as you want to help. And as always, thank you so much for stopping by here and supporting the show. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.